I don't discriminate about age.
Uh-huh.
I'm more inclined to discriminate against younger people than myself, than older people.
Do you think that that's general in the lesbian community, or do you think you're unusual?
Oh, no, I don't discriminate against younger women, no. When, in fact, when one of the grow people asked me if I'd like to buy a ticket, this was a couple of two or three years ago, if I'd like to buy a ticket to this grow dance, I said, well, what is it? And they said, the gay rights for older women. I said, what's wrong with younger women? Because at that, I didn't like that either. That was chauvinistic. Older women, I appreciate where they're coming from now, but at the time, it offended me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And not because I wanted to meet younger women, but I couldn't figure out why they were discriminating.
Why they were different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it is true, you have had a lot
and
of friends
name.
Who were older. Isn't it true?
Sorry?
You have had a lot of friends who were older
mm-hmm.
women.
Yeah.
What were you going to say, that name?
I was going to say about being interested in the... another thing about the women's movement. The women's movement at the time didn't do anything for me. Didn't
Which
do anything
time
for
are we
Ruth.
Talking about?
At the time when it, well, that would be in the 70s.
Already in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Wasn't it?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Did nothing. In the 70s, I was in my 30s, and I had already established my lifestyle.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I was respected in my professional life
mm-hmm.
And in my personal life. I had friends that liked me. They may not have respected me, but they liked me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so the women's movement didn't do a heck of a lot for me. But this business about the growth thing... that bothered me about the university. Well, it wasn't the university, really. It was just that organization. It was a gay movement in Buffalo.
I don't think Gay Rights for Older Women has anything to do with the university.
I just knew some of the people who happened to be in the organization.
Were also in the university?
Yeah.
That's
I don't know if they were in the faculty or not. I never bothered finding out, but I just thought, hey. So anyway, I didn't ever get involved with anything in the university. Because it just didn't... didn't set right with me.
Right, because you had always been quite independent yourself and
mm-hmm.
determined your life.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Because, and then I didn't meet any younger women. I didn't meet any younger women until about the last 6 months. The last 6 months I met younger women.
Huh. Huh.
Jeannie was my introduction to the younger women in the community.
I see. And then you met Anita in the last...
I've known Anita for a long time.
But I always consider her as younger. You don't think so?
no. I always considered her my peer.
Uh-huh.
Because I've known her. I've known Anita for roughly 10 years.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yes.
And she's bigger than I am. So anyone that's bigger than me automatically are older.
Is older.
Yeah.
Well, let's go back to 1960 when you're coming to the carousel.
Mm.
So when you thought of... When you first went into the carousel, what kind of impressions did you have of it?
Oh, well, the back room. The back room was bad news because it was all people shuffling around in their pants. Well, I can't think what they were wearing. It wasn't jeans, I suppose. It was chinos. Chinos
mm-hmm.
were the pants. And Catherine would leave. I would go to their house on Saturday, and then we would go out that night about 11 o'clock. Catherine would leave, have her old pants on, and she'd have a pair of chinos that were pressed. She'd get out of the car, she'd stand at the side of the car, and she'd pull on her chinos, and then she'd stand in the bar all night with that crease. She would not rest. She might rest her buttocks a little bit, but she didn't bend her legs.
Huh, because she wanted the crease
the
perfect,
crease
huh?
And the crease, right.
When you say the back room was bad news, what did you mean by that?
Oh, because all the women sat back there and hugged and kissed. I used to hug and kiss, but I did it at the bar.
Uh-huh.
I mean, but that was only... I only did that with Kathleen and Leslie when we would get in our cups and just be so delighted with one another. It wasn't a sexual thing, it was just love sort of thing.
So you didn't really mix too much with the women who moved in the back, or did you?
Mm-mm.
You all stayed in the front.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
And not, well, of course, those women that were in the back room, I don't know where they are anymore. The only people I know from a... Hey, have you introduced... interviewed... Elaine Till? Okay. The only people I know from the old days that are Elaine Till and Franny Weistrack. I think... And Leslie Taylor. And then the Sox, Liz, Adelaide, June.
But they didn't go into the back room? No. What did they? No. They stayed at the bar.
Mm-hmm.
Huh, that's interesting. What do you think made the difference?
Well, the difference was... I think the difference was in the front. They weren't, well, again, they were older than I. No, Franny isn't older than I am, but Catherine and Leslie were both 5 and 7 years older than me, so they would be, you know, that's quite a difference at that age.
Mm-hmm.
Because at that point you've got a certain amount of self-respect and you don't have to really, what am I looking for? There's not so much a group identity. They were together. Mm-hmm. So they didn't have to identify with the group when they're hugging and kissing. Neither one of them danced.
Mm-hmm.
That made a difference. If you didn't dance...
You didn't go there.
You didn't go in the back room. But Al O'Connor and I were dancers. So people would enjoy seeing us dance. We always would dance in the front. You could dance in the front end. And we would always dance in the front end because all the men were back in front. So for Al, there was his audience
mm-hmm.
of the mm-hmm. men.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that was where our friends were.
Oh, that's interesting that it was divided like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Catherine, with her chinos in the crease, she would always stand in the front, right?
In the front?
At the bar.
At the bar, oh yeah.
Right. Did everybody at the bar have those wonderful crease chinos?
The women? Oh yeah, I mean, whatever they were wearing. Skip didn't. I guess she must have worn them. Oh yeah, but Skip would sit at the bar.
What would you wear?
I would wear dresses. You I would wear dress. Pants. I would wear little, like, the toilet pants and things.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
I think that was a style then.
Right. Turn the 60s.
And high heels.
Did Catherine crease her own pants?
Oh, yes.
She did, huh?
Uh-huh.
Wow, that's something. So she was the butch in that relationship.
And another thing, too, in butchers, too. Butchers weren't as apt to wear makeup. In fact, they didn't wear makeup.
And femmes would?
Oh, yeah.
And did you wear makeup?
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
And another thing was butchers would have their hair cut in a kind of butchy style, where the femmes would have curls.
Awesome.
And bouffant type things. Yeah.
Did butchers and femmes usually go out in couples, or were there some nights when butchers went out alone?
That was, Skip told me about that period.
But that wasn't when you were there?
No.
No, that was earlier.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
That was Ralph Martin days.
Huh. That's interesting. Okay, let's see. So did you make any other friends other than Kathy and Leslie?
Here in Buffalo?
Yeah.
No.
And they introduced you to Skip?
Mm-hmm.
How'd that happen?
We were driving down to Shirtston and Skip came.
Oh, that's right, you were telling me.
Yeah, and she was driving up. She had a convertible. And she was driving up the avenue, and they stopped the car. And she said, you know, they said, where are you going or something? And she said, well, why don't you stop at the house on your way back? So, we did. And I had known, I think maybe I had known Catherine and Leslie maybe a year then.
Mm-hmm.
But it may have been 6 months, I don't know. If it started in September, if I met them in September, it could have been the following summer. But mm-hmm. I'd known them quite well. And so we stopped on the way back. And I met Skip Rebell. And then when I was leaving, her name was Skip. And then when I was leaving, I shook hands, and that knocked her out. But I'm British.
Uh-huh, and that's it.
Yeah. And then at Christmas time, I think I must have. I didn't. I must have seen her in the bar. Time. And at Christmas time, I sent her a Christmas card.
You were interested in her.
I respected her. I was. She was on a pedestal.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So between this time,
I didn't know anything about what she did either. You know, Liz. She. She was just in the bar and she was talking.
Uh-huh.
And she said, I guess she must have been asking me about myself. And,
excuse me. Quit breaches, miss.
Anyone. We all gravitate towards people who have sensitivity. And so she was asking me about myself. Well, the thing that really put me off was we were poor. I say this quietly. We were poor. My family, everyone had left my brother in Scotland. My brother left school. My sister left school when we were 14 and went to work. And in Canada, the legal age was 16. And so I had a high school teacher when I was 15. And so we had to, in that school, they had a swimming pool and we had to have a tank suit. My mother didn't have $4 for a tank suit. So every week I went to school and I kept saying, I have my period, I have my period. And because she didn't have $4. So that was fine. I sat out, sat out. Finally, she got the bathing suit. So I, as soon as I got it, I whipped in and got it on, and I got up in the diving board, and I dove off, and the teacher said, do that again. Did it again. Where did you learn that? Taught myself. Do it again. Well, Liz, she spent that whole year teaching how to dive. The other kids were swimming and stuff. She'd say, do this, do that. Hey, I'm like that today. If someone says do that, I'll do it. You know, but anyone, if someone has faith in you, you'll do it, right? So it's just human. So I came home. I wanted to teach phys ed. That's what I wanted to be. I wanted to teach phys ed. Well, in Canada, you had to have your BS to teach phys ed. But you'd go to normal school, right? And there was no bloody way that I was going to. Or even I was going to high school, but college, not a chance. You're going to work when you're 16, and you learn how to type and shorthand, be a secretary, and that crap. So I was bloody hostile. So my birthday was in May, and I was 16. School was out in June. I went into the math exam. I think I got a 4. That was my grade. I got a 4. So then when I had to send credits, high school credits, to Canisius, Skip said, for God's sake, do some, put a 2 in front of that or something. You have to put a 5, a 4. But I was really mad. So anyway, I was telling her about Skip about this. And I was 20 or something, 21. And I had learned how to type, and I was in Murray's, and I was having a good time. Had, you know, future and stuff. And so then she told me, she didn't tell me then about the New York State equivalency thing. She just listened. And I guess she thought, and I was bitchy as hell. Because why? Because you're poor, can't you go to school? I was really angry. And she heard it. And she thought the same thing.
So that's how you began to know one another, through discussing things like that. So all this time, so you know her already almost a year. And you would just talk to one another, is that it?
And then one time, finally, then I confided in her that I was in love with Catherine Colleen. And that was it. Because, you know, it was all very hush-hush. Just Catherine and I knew. But I told Skip. And so she would ask me from time to time something, Catherine. And I would tell her whatever was happening. And then Catherine started seeing other people. And so she and I were no longer seeing one another.
And Catherine was no longer seeing Leslie?
Oh, no, she was still living together, but she was dating other two twins. She was living with Catherine, but she was
a big timer.
Yeah, she did well. She was dating two twins. So anyway, my mother, and the twin business hurt me. So anyway, my mother, I met mother and father. I used to meet them every Wednesday for lunch, and mother would get my dad's paycheck. And she and I were walking back towards the streetcar or something, and we were in front of Simpsons, and I started to cry on Queen Street. She turned and she looked at me and she said, what's wrong, honey? Are you pregnant? I said, no, I'm in love with a girl, and so on and so forth, and such and such. So she just patted my shoulder, and I don't know what she said. And that was that. I came out to my mother. Then Al said to me, this would be about 2 or 3 months later, Saturday, he and I were working on Saturday. And he said, he and I hadn't been spending as much time together either. So he said, what are you doing today, honey? I said, I don't have any plans. He said, would you like to go to Buffalo? And he knew I wasn't seeing Catherine. And I said, yeah, okay. So I said, but I have to go home and change. He said, that's fine. So he drove me home, showered, changed, came down. And he said, why don't you call Catherine? See if she'd like to join us for a drink. So I called Catherine. She said, sure. She said, I'll meet you at midnight. So an hour later, he said to me, why don't you call Skip and see if she would like to join us? I said, fine. It was early. It was like 9 o'clock. And I called her and she said, yeah, she said, I'm supposed to go to a Halloween party tonight, but I'd love to come and join you for a drink. Meet me out for a drink. So she came down about 10 or 11, and she knew Catherine was meeting. Midnight came, no Catherine. 1, 2, 3, no Catherine. There was an after-hours place, and Skip said, we hadn't been in Buffalo for such a long time. She said, another after-hours spot, we'd like to go there. Sure. Went over there, walked in, and Catherine was sitting with one of the twins. And I liked these twins. They were really nice women. So anyway, I said, over a drink. I don't know where that comes from. What is that? Whatever it is, it's false. It's really phony. Because you don't really feel like, you know, sending a drink. You want to take the drink and throw it
at home.
Right. But anyway, I was a femme, so I sent the drink. But femmes don't send a drink either.
They don't.
So, I mean, the whole thing was so crazy.
Right, they don't send a drink, they don't go hit somebody over the head, is that it?
No. But anyway, I really wasn't into the rose thing anyway. And so then Catherine came over and said something to us and we left. And what happened? I think I started to cry. We walked out of there and I started to kind of cry a little bit. And Skip put her arm on my shoulder. And she said, it was about 5 in the morning, she said, listen, why don't you kids come back to the apartment and stay tonight? She said, rather than driving back to Toronto. I said, okay, fine. Or Al said, yeah, fine, okay. So we went back there, and so she handed me a pair of pajamas. And I looked at them and I said, are these boys' pajamas? She said, what the hell do you think they are?
You had never seen a woman in boys' pajamas before, isn't that something?
No. So anyway, we went to bed, and I said, I think I said to remind me. And so she did. And then the next day we stayed in bed, and we made love all day. And Al got up and made himself coffee and eggs and whatever. You know, he was helping himself. And it was very comfortable. Al was super.
Uh-huh.
And
when you said you think you said to her, mind me?
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
Mind me, son. Well, if you're minding a baby.
Uh-huh. I guess like, that's take care of me?
Take care of me, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Like I just wanted to be held.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah. And the thing for her too is that she'd gone through a very traumatic experience in her life, because she was living with a woman, and now she hadn't lived with this woman for about a year. But anyway, the woman ended up. The woman used to bring. Oh dear, I better be careful now. I won't say that. Anyway, the woman ended up. Marrying. She would bring the fellow home that she intended to marry, and finally she married him. And so Skip was back on her own. And I know that physically probably she hadn't slept with someone for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
At the time I didn't think about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I was thinking about it now. Yeah.
So she was ready for
was
meeting
nice.
Somebody too,
yeah,
and it was
nice
for her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so then what happened? I don't know whether she called me, or she'd said something that she would call me, or would I call her on Tuesday night, or something or other. Anyway, I went home that Sunday night and I wrote her a letter.
So you stayed from Wednesday to Sunday?
No. We left on Sunday night, Dad and I.
Uh-huh.
You're nothing but mosquitoes.
Not yet, I haven't.
Liz, do you want them?
Well, the sun hit.
Okay, yeah. I'd gone through the Sandy thing, right?
Uh-huh.
So then I started in the studio, and Sandy had split up with Grace, the woman she had brought Grace out. And, then Sandy left, she went out west or something. And, it was 6 or 8 months later or something, I ran into Grace Paris.
Mm-hmm.
Outside the studio, and Grace was the one. And she said, Windsor, she said, I have been looking all over for you. She said, I've been to, you know, this bar, that bar. So we went for a drink with a friend of hers also, Kay. And then they came back to my place and we stayed. And Grace was very attractive and et cetera, et cetera. So she and I were having an affair. And it was just it wasn't a big love thing, but it was a sweet affair. And she couldn't wait to start coming down to Buffalo. And I said to Grace, I said, if we start going to Buffalo, I said, we're going to split up. I said, because you'll meet other women, you'll want to date other ones. You don't ever do meet Sandy. And so I'm so mature at, how old was I? 21, 22?
Mm-hmm.
I said, you'll meet other women, and that'll be the end, Grace. And no one wins her. I just want to go down there, and I want to see one and so forth. And I said, well, Grace, I won't take you. I said, if you go, you go with somebody else. But I said, I won't take you. And so she went with somebody else, and we split. Because she met someone, and she got into the games and stuff like that. Well, that was enough. That was the end of it. But anyway, she and I had ended up where she lived. She had a room for $5 a week. And I had this nice little apartment for $15 a week. And she said, Windsor, why don't you move in where I'm living? You know, the room is $5 a week, et cetera, et cetera. So I had moved in. I had one room. She had another room. And, but we still remained good friends. And Grace used to rate me regularly. I mean, she knew that I was in quotes in love with Catherine. She knew. But she just wanted to, you know, she would get drinking, and she was big. She was 5'11". And likable. And she'd come in. Then I got a hook on the bedroom door. She used to get a knife and put this knife under the door. Oh, she was dreadful. Then there was a hook on the bathroom door, and I'd be in the tub. She'd put the knife under the hook, come in, have a BM, and I'm in the bathtub. I'd say, Grace, for God's sake. But she was a super, you know, a lot of fun person. Uh-huh. Anyway.
You know, you used the word bringing somebody out before, mm-hmm. when you're talking about that.
Grace.
Yeah, what do you mean by that word? Is it the
sexually? I'm saying
sexually, that. And that would be the first time somebody makes
mm-hmm.
love.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Do you think way back then?
I brought a couple of women.
You did, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was before Skip.
Before Skip,
yeah,
you did too.
Yeah, I was
too.
Busy.
You were busy. It sounds like you were really busy.
Yeah, I brought a couple of people out. Yeah,
that's amazing, and. You know, sometimes in the gay community, people talk about that it's difficult to bring somebody out. Do you agree with that, or?
Well, the thing is, I used to think that the only way that you met someone was if you were in the gay community. That is not so.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and another thing I've learned as I'm older now, and I'm single, is that if someone is attracted to me, they will find me. I don't have to go looking for them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I can go into a gay bar now and be comfortable at the bar by myself.
Mm-hmm.
If there's someone there that's attracted to me, they'll sure as hell get to know me.
But when you, 20 years ago, you didn't feel like that. You kind of were...
Oh, I would just approach them. But uh-huh. the thing is, most of the people in bars today are in their early 20s. So I can set myself up for a fall
uh-huh.
if I just see someone start approaching them, and they might think, God, you're 40, or you look whatever, you look 30, you look 40, you look 50.
Mm-hmm.
I can set myself up for some. But if I just stay where I am, if they're attracted to me, they'll come to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If they want to get to know me, I don't even, however, they'll get to know me. And this is one of the things I've learned in the last... I decided in December mm-hmm. of this year, 79, I decided I was going out, quote, cruising. I'm single, I'm going out, and I'm going to meet women.
Uh-huh.
And I have. And in my drinking days, if someone was attracted to me and I was attracted to them, I would have, when I went to bed, probably would have gone to bed with them that night and also would have made the scene. No. In fact, last year, I was in a menage a trois with a married couple. And the woman, I was friends with both of them, but the woman I never, what am I looking for? Oh, I sat around with her for about 2 weeks, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, getting to know her mentally.
Mm-hmm.
She was very physical, got to know her mentally. I thought she was, and, well, that's not important to the gay community, but I had a fantastic physical relationship with her. So now I've learned, here's the thing, Liz, from that experience with this last summer, what I learned from that is that I don't want to go to bed with someone. Actually, I won't say any absolutes. But I really now kind of want to get more into someone's head.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say more. It's just that I enjoyed that so much, and I really, really like it. And I had such a super experience with her, getting to know her head first. And if it was that great, with no contact at all, sitting over a kitchen table, and then finally when we did go to bed, it was so super. What would it be like? Oh, in fact, well, I've been in similar situations since then, and with people who were attracted to me, younger people or something. And I haven't made the scene with them. I haven't wanted to. I've been attracted to, I thought they were pretty, they had all the things going. And then maybe when I got to know the head, it wasn't something I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, way back then in 59, 60, 61, it was all right for you as a woman to go up and be interested in somebody.
Yeah, and I went to bed with them right away.
Boom. Uh-huh, yeah. Just like that.
Oh, yeah.
And that was accepted in the community.
Oh, yeah. Well, the point is the women, like, say, the straight women. Or you, I was thinking of the straight women now. The ones that I brought out. Yeah, sure, that was a thing for you.
And did many of the women who you brought out stay out?
I doubt it.
You doubt it? They just, what, was it like a fling to
mm-hmm.
them?
Yeah, I slept with one of them three or four times, and one of them once.
Uh-huh.
Or twice.
And you think they just, that was just an affair, and then
mm-hmm.
they, uh-huh, uh-huh. Okay, there's one thing I wanted to ask you before we go on is, you know, when you were suffering all this with Catherine, you know, who were the people who gave you support? Were they other lesbians? Was it your friend Al Connor? Was it your family?
Well, the thing, the only person I had was Grace, as far as having a close friend, as Grace and Al.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Grace was always jealous of her, and when I would be, she wasn't quite over me. I didn't know. What is it? She wanted a pie and needed to. I don't know what was going on. Maybe she didn't like Catherine. Maybe I guess mm-hmm. that's it. She didn't like Catherine. Maybe she didn't get to know her.
Mm-hmm.
So Grace could care less. And Al Connor. Then I met another woman there in Toronto who was in advertising. And that was interesting because I met her through a friend of hers. I think she called me at the studio and said her name was June Sinclair and would I like to meet her for a drink after work. And I said, sure. So I said to Al Connor, I have to meet a woman after work. Will you come with me? So he said, sure. Nice woman. So I slept with her that night and a couple nights, maybe 3 nights in a row I slept with her. And then that weekend I was going down to Buffalo and that weekend she was going away with friends. She had been married and was separated, divorced. And she was about my age. So I saw her. So then it was that weekend that Catherine informed me that it was no more, and so on and so forth. That was it. And Catherine had been seeing the girls anyway. Okay? I mean, it wasn't that we were going, you know. So a month later, June called me at work and she said, Windsor, she called me at work and she said, Windsor, would you go to the chemist or go to the drugstore and get a bottle of This isn't important to the gay community, I'm telling you. Anyway,
you're the best judge.
Well, the only thing is I'm through an abortion with her. And that was something I didn't know anything about.
That she was, she had...
That weekend when she'd gone away with the friends,
mm-hmm.
3 days after her, she'd slept with one of the, her date, whatever, mm-hmm. she'd slept with him. And 2 months later, she knew she was pregnant. So,
was she gay, too?
No. I was the first woman that she, as far as I knew, yeah. But so she had called me.
She had called, but you gave her the support for the abortion.
Yeah.
She
I spent New Year's Eve with her because she had the abortion on New Year's Day, New Year's Eve. And I was supposed to come down to Buffalo with Al Connor, and we were meeting Catherine and Leslie. I think then all of us were going out to the bar or something. The thing is, see, with Catherine and I splitting up, it couldn't, as far as Leslie was concerned, Leslie couldn't know this.
Mm-hmm.
I still had to be friends with those people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it would seem, so the only thing I could say was about I'm not coming down this weekend. But mm-hmm. if Al was going down, I would, you know. So anyway, I said to Al that day, I won't be able to go to
Buffalo.
And you stayed? Didn't tell him why.
Uh-huh.
And I'm staying with June. So when he got down to Buffalo here, he told them. They were wild. And they called me. She got home from work around, after the abortion. She got home to her apartment at 6 when I was there. And I stayed with her. If I had been, the thing is, well, you know, then I'd been legally charged.
Right.
For aiding and abetting or whatever. I went through that thing with June.
Oh, that's a wonderful thing
but
that you did that for her. Yes. Well, there's one other question I've got to ask you.
It wasn't wonderful at all. It was human.
It was human. That's true. That's true. About in terms of the lesbian community, like what was happening with Catherine and Leslie? Was that common at that time that people would be in couples and one of them or both of them would be sleeping with somebody else, or was that uncommon?
Yeah. No, that was fairly... it's kind of the way I think it's pretty much the same today.
Hmm.
Liz, I mean, I think so. I don't know whether people are absolutely honest. I mean, human nature is human nature. And I don't know any couples, say 20 years old, who are my friends, that one of them would say to me, the Windsor, I've met a woman and I'm doing this or I'm doing that. So I don't know, but I don't think human nature has changed that much.
So you would say that's probably true of all the long-lasting couples, that somebody is going out with somebody else sometimes, or not?
No. See, when I first lived with Skip, I was committed to the relationship.
Wanda?
Yes,
Dad, I'm going to bed. I think I'll go to you.
Oh, okay, honey.
What I wanted to ask you, now we've gotten through a lot of stuff before you met Skip. Is there anything else about the gay life before you met Skip that you think would have been important for us to know about thinking about the lesbian community?
Well, no, there's another thing. Skip... I think that the age difference, I know that age differential had a hell of an effect on my life, because Skip was 42, she was praying for menopause, and she went right into it, and I was 23. Had my first orgasm with Skip.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, is that too? I wanted to tell you about Grace. This is what I wanted to tell you.
Okay.
So I never had orgasms, right? And Grace was raping me regularly. And
do you use the word rape in jest, or was it true?
It was true. I was saying, I mean, the thing is, these old people were in their house where we lived. I couldn't make a hell of a lot of noise because we were gay. I couldn't make a hell of a lot of noise about get out of here or slamming doors, or I couldn't go through all those things, so I was like beating on her.
That must have been terrible.
She was it was terrible, and I was 100. No, I was 100. She was about. She had to be about 150 pounds, and I was about 95, 100. I was 102 pounds.
Mm.
There was no bloody way I could physically,
stuff.
Avoid that, yeah. And she would just get into her cups and she'd say, all right.
Oh,
Little Windsor tonight.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Do you know of that a lot in the lesbian community, or do you think that's pretty rare?
Oh, no, that was rare.
Yeah.
I'd say that was rare. But anyway, so when it finally, it must have been about June, I sent Grace a note, and you can quote me, and it said, "Dear Grace, something happened to me last night that never happened before. Love, Windsor." So she sent back a card, and the card said, "Now you have something to crow about." So here I was, 23, right? Orgasms. And Skip is into menopause. So I thought, it'll pass, it'll pass, it'll pass. And I told myself that I didn't want to cheat. And I was going crazy.
Uh-huh.
Crazy, and she was not interested in any physical activity whatsoever. And she'd say to me at night, get into bed, and I would be all brushing and everything else, you know. And she would pat my shoulder and she'd say, "Honey, go to sleep. You're tired." And because I had her on the pedestal, it was my problem. Because I had her on the pedestal, I couldn't turn around and say, "God damn, but I'm not tired." Uh-huh. That's not, I couldn't tell her. I couldn't uh-huh. say, "No, I want to make love." I couldn't. Uh-huh. And I was lying there in knots, inside, seething, angry. It was nothing to do with homosexuality. It had to do with being able to express anger, and I could not express anger.
Uh-huh.
So that was my problem.
Did that change as the relationship went on? After Skip went through menopause?
That should we keep this one?
Yeah.
No, because when we had been together about 5 years.
Uh-huh.
We were together 5 years, and I thought, well, it's not getting better, and I don't want to cheat. And I knew that in the Catholic Church, for people of the same sex to have sex together was a sin. So I said, fine. And I had taken history of the British something, English-speaking people or something it would be. And historically, I would have been Catholic if I hadn't been for politics.
Mm-hmm.
So
was Skip Catholic?
No. Mm. So I converted to Catholicism so that I wouldn't want her.
Is that right?
That's absolutely right. And she said to me, intellectually, you were taking a step back. But she didn't know why I was doing that. So it didn't work, of course, because it wasn't based on the right reasons. And we had a guest at the house. Then we were both trapped with one another. Then I got up one morning and walked into the other woman's bed, and we made love. And I had an affair with that woman. And I didn't even like her, but I had an affair with her. And then I started having affairs with other women who were in relationships, but the physical part wasn't working, you know, for whatever mm-hmm. reasons. But it was always very, look, you're involved with Skip, I'm involved with X.
Uh-huh, and we want to keep
and
it.
And we're keeping it that way, and it's strictly a physical relationship and friendship, whatever it is, and that is it. And that's the way I lived.
Would you all keep that very quiet so Skip wouldn't know about it, or somebody else, or did Skip know about it?
Skip had heard something somewhere down the way. People are very happy to convey things like that. But Skip didn't care to know about it because she had her life. She was really, at that point, she was really wrapped up in her dogs, her dog shows. She was taking off every weekend, and it was dogs, dogs, dogs. It was like gambling.
Mm-hmm.
So Skip had her love, and I didn't change towards her at all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I loved her. You don't stop loving
somebody. How long were you two? Oh, sorry. What were you going to say?
I was going to say about love is that in true love, it's the infinite that we love in someone. Mm. So, I did not stop loving Skip.
Mm.
And we had a nice relationship.
Mm. So in your mind, love and sex aren't so much connected.
Oh, very much so.
They are connected.
Oh, sure.
I don't know.
But then this is love and love. It's a whole It's a, it's like sharing. If when love is in, when love is infinite,
uh-huh.
and everyone is part of the universe, I can share the person I love with everyone. I'm not sure. Because love is a complete circle. It's just a, it's a different kind of love that we have with a lover.
I think this might have stopped. Can you believe this? Although it's, no, it's gone.
I want to know. The thing is, I, when Skip, after Skip died, I thought, I don't, well, it doesn't matter if I never meet anyone again, because I have loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
And then a year after she died, I met someone, and I was seeing that person that night, and I was driving on the highway, and I started, you know, tears kind of came in my eyes, and I started crying, and so I said, thank you, God, for making me feel human again. But I can, you know, mm-hmm. I was happy to be seeing that woman. And then I used to think to myself, this has been in the last 5 years, I've thought to myself, I know what love is, and I hope, I would like if she is somewhere else here on Earth, because now that I really know what love is, now my head is fairly together since I don't drink, I know how to love now.
Hmm.
I know more, and I would like her to be... I don't know if you know what I'm saying. Well, she's infinite too, so she is here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a total appreciation. And,
yeah,
and
but the thing is, now I'm sober, and now I can share.
Uh-huh.
I mean, hell, I don't care whether the next person I'm involved in with... I don't care if they want to sleep with 20 people. I don't care what they want to do.
It's interesting you're saying this because, you know, most people always think about that in the gay male community, that many men have lifelong relationships or 20-year relationships with somebody that they love, but that they sleep with other people on the side,
mm-hmm.
you know? And most women don't picture that as happening in the woman's community. That's my impression.
Well, I want to know what... The thing is, Liz, I want to know what total love is.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have, in that 15 years that Skip was there, I didn't have here. I didn't have, because of the physical thing, I had to find that outside of my home.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know what it's like in my home again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In my home, in a home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You want to have that together again,
mm-hmm.
in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
How long were you and Skip together?
15 years.
15 years, wow. That's a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know women who have been together as long as that or longer?
Yeah, Jesse and Eleanor have been together about the same length of time. Oh, they, no, I'm sorry, I'm telling a lie. They were together 10 years. And Les and Helen are no longer together, but they were
right.
together for about 14 years. Leslie, I don't know whether Leslie would consent to an interview, but Leslie went with Bessie Belanca.
She did,
mm-hmm.
huh?
So, pardon me, if you could get an interview with her, she could certainly enlighten you.
That would be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I don't know who Leslie is, I don't think.
Leslie Taylor, she owns Rosie with Helen.
Right, I know who Helen is, but I don't know Leslie.
Well, can't you go there in the afternoons when she's
sometime.
Working?
I should go there one time
sure.
and ask her. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Okay, what I was thinking is that this might be a good time to break, although there are a few questions, but see, I think maybe you should think about if we interview again, part of the interview should be you're trying to recall the things about the past that Skip remembered. Do you know what I mean? The things about the 50s, if you could.
That
or,
she remembered?
Yeah, and shared with you
mm-hmm.
about what your picture of the 50s was
or
the 40s was
yeah.
from living
well, there was
with Skip.
For instance, there was a woman...
You want to start?
Okay,
good.
You're starting me already. That during the war...
I'm going to enjoy one of your cigarettes.
Oh, yeah.
It's getting
Liz,
dark.
I'm sorry, did I offer those to you before?
Yes, you did.
Yeah, one of the things that she... Now, I can't tell you the woman's name, but one of the women drove drove the bus,
mm-hmm.
the NFTA.
Mm-hmm.
She would pull up in front of Ralph Martin's every day
mm-hmm.
and go in there and have a drink, have a beer, one of the butches, and leave the passengers sitting on the bus. There was another one that rode a mail truck. Post truck. Post office truck. She'd park the post office truck in front of Ralph Martin's.
Oh, yeah, and just go in during
just
the day.
Just go in, yeah. I told you about the time when the police tried to blackmail Skip.
Mm-mm.
She was necking in somewhere with Liz Cannon. And the police came up and found them. So he asked for her driver's license. And in the car, in the wallet, she had her business card. He said, oh, $468 Delaware. So a day or two later, he and his partner came in and said, I wonder how the doctors would feel if they found out that you were a lesbian. And Ralph Martin had an acquaintance or a friend who was on the state legislature, a male. And Ruth said, and I'll find out his name for you. And Ruth said, I wonder how so-and-so would feel if he knew that you were in here right now. And
so Ruth knew how to take care of herself.